Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I know there are some visitors here today, but I pray that you'll catch a vision if you are from another church, and if you don't go to any other church, I pray that you'll catch a vision for God's church today, that you will become a true living stone, a member of God's house, through faith in Jesus. Because I want to speak about really what God is leading us into as a church here, but I'm sure it has some relevance for you personally as you hear God's word today if you're visiting. And I also want to, and I apparently it's probably common knowledge by now, because I came in and there were some funny goings on as I walked in. So there's something afoot because it's my birthday. And I don't know what you're doing, but I've got the first say anyway. And so we'll look forward to that. But it is this birthday is a landmark birthday. It's another decade I'm beginning. And I was out walking with a friend, with Sandra, I think probably in March and April. I remember having a conversation about it. She said, "Oh, it's a biggie coming up. You know, all you need is faith, isn't it? You don't need this pull-down thing." "Oh, how old are you?" Not, "Isn't it brilliant that you've got loads more time on earth? And you're exactly the right age?" Anyway, she was being positive. And she said, "What do you want for your birthday?" Which I'm sure we all get asked. If we have anybody that loves us and people that care about us, they say, "What do you want for your birthday? Is there any kind of dream that you have?" For some of you, it might be some kind of a sports car. For others, it might be Florida. I don't know what your dream is. And what was funny in that walk, I said, to be absolutely honest, and I'm not being super spiritual, I said, "I want a building. I want a building for my birthday." And God's come in on time. And it was weighing so heavily on me, really, and us as a leadership, that, you know, sometimes you say things to the family, God's family, God's children, and you speak a vision for many years. And a pastor put it like this: it's like being a bad parent. You say you're going to do something good. There's something God's going to come up with, something amazing, and it just doesn't happen for a long time. And so when it just, you just feel like, am I being a good parent here as a pastor, as leaders? You know, I don't want to disappoint you guys. I don't want to speak something that isn't from God. But as we have seen, and we're about to take hold of the keys for, we have a building. And I thank God for that. And somebody also once says that buildings don't matter. Well, I wonder if they would talk to Brian Berry on the setup team, the people in the car parks, those who clean toilets that are left in an absolute state, the sound team, all the things that get set up and put down on a Sunday, and say to them, "Do buildings matter?" And they would say, "Oh, yes, they do." Because there's always this putting up and taking down. And I believe spiritually buildings matter, because we're taking possession of the land. We're not renting. We're taking hold of territory. And people can't decide what they want to do with us anymore, because God, we have our own place in the center of town, which is going to be a visible expression of who Jesus is, and a spiritual home, I believe, for the region, that there is going to be a regional influence, which has been already prophesied over us as a church. And so buildings do matter. We will get stronger roots and we'll have more fruit. Our roots will go deeper and we will then produce much more fruit. And as we get ready, as we're preparing to cross over, probably hope to get the keys at the first week of November and to have our first meeting on the 4th of December. As we prepare, we need to be in the right kind of mindset and the right heart and the right vision or view of what God wants us to cross over into. Because it's a really nice place. I think all of you have seen Crescent House. Actually, in Italian, it means, crescent means growing. So it's already a growing house. It's good. It's kind of prophetic already. But it's a very nice. It's a super building for us, and we're kind of like really proud to be the kind of those who live in it, the church that lives in that building. But I have a question, really. What is in a place? You know, because after all, it's bricks and mortar. When they made it, they didn't know that they were going to make it for us and for God's glory. But, you know, we look at this place and this new location and we say, what's in a place? And I believe we need to ask that question. How are we to look at this place? Well, the answer, I think one of the answers we can give is it depends on who lives there. Because a place gets changed by who lives there. The reason people from all over the world come to Buckingham Palace is because somebody special lives there. And she's world-renowned, the Queen, to reside there. And so people from all over the world go to Buckingham Palace. Now, I have to say, it's not the most attractive building in the nation, is it? In fact, it's a bit like Crescent House. But a bit smaller. Ours is smaller. Wouldn't that be funny? But it's not, it's who lives there that makes that a significant building. And so when we answer the question, what's in this bricks and mortar? What's different about this place we're going to? It's because of who's going to live there and what he's going to do there. You see, the church is no longer in a building. The church of Jesus Christ is not bricks and mortar. Jesus has come to dwell in people. And we are now called the dwelling place of God. And the church of Jesus Christ is really the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are collectively God's house. And that's why we are called the body of Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the place on earth where God lives. And so while we say we're going into bricks and mortar, it's us, the church, the dwelling place of God, who are going to go in and live in those bricks and mortar. So we need to have the right mindset about church. But we also need to have a mindset of this place is going to transform because of who's going to be in it. It will become different as soon as you and I put our toes onto the threshold and go in and fulfill God's purpose for our lives and for his kingdom here on earth. In Genesis 28, let's just look at this scripture. I'm not going to have a long preach this morning, and we might have a little bit of practical response to the word. And so I know that everybody listens even more carefully if they think they've got to do something in the here and now with what they've heard. I don't know, when you're at school, like, you weren't interested unless somebody was going to come up with, we want you to say something about what you've just heard. And you'd be like, huh, notes. You know, you'd be attentive. So let's listen up and let's hear what God wants to say to us through the scripture. Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, with the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. He was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. He changed the name of that place. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey, and I'm taking this journey, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I can return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. It's a fantastic story of God communicating with Jacob. Now, Jacob is actually in line to inherit the promise that was given to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise that he would give him a land and that all nations would be blessed through him and to his children. So then Isaac was born, he got the same promise, and now Jacob inherits the promise. He's a son of promise. Now Jacob had heard his granddad and his dad share the word of God with him. He'd heard the promises from his dad. But as of yet, he hadn't had a life-changing, destiny-making encounter. To that point, it was just what he had been told. It wasn't something that he had seen God and had spoken to him personally. The same promise, but God himself spoke that into his heart. And this story is starting off in what the Bible says is a certain place, an ordinary place, which we could say Crescent House or the building we're going into, and we will change the name, is a certain place. It's an ordinary place. You would agree? And so Jacob, he's tired, he's on his journey, he wants to have a sleep, so he puts his head down, puts a stone under his head, and I find that remarkable that you could sleep on a stone, but they were made hard then. And they were desert nomads, weren't they? They lived different to our lovely pillow. I've got a lovely pillow. Anyway, moving on. And he put his head down, and as he slept, God unveiled the spirit realm. Now you see, it's going on all the time. God is here now. There are angels here. In this room, because each one of us have been allocated angels to serve the heirs of salvation. Carry on, to strengthen me and to do the word, God's will, to enable me to serve God. And so Jacob has this kind of open curtain experience. Now, if you look at those curtains there, you can't see what's behind. And you see, unless God shows you the spirit realm, you can't see. But the Holy Spirit and the word of God, Jesus, he takes back the curtains and says, have a look at that, Jacob. This is really what's going on. It looks like an ordinary place, but let me show you that in this place there are angels. There's an opening to heaven. You can see me, and I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do in your life and in your future. I want you to believe what I'm telling you, because I've got a plan for your life that is going to bless nations. And so with this unveiling of God's plan to Jacob, it's absolutely life-changing. Now, what I like about this story is that Jacob isn't perfect at this moment. He is a little bit of a naughty guy. He deceives people. He got his inheritance by deceiving his father. And he's actually not living a perfect life. And in fact, he's not even in his destiny to this point. But from this time on, from this encounter moment, Jacob becomes a man of destiny. He has a life-changing experience that straightens out his life. And he begins to live holy. He begins to live for God's purpose. And he sees that there is a way for me that God has made to walk through this life. Now, as this dream is spoken of in the Word, we see that there are angels coming up and down. Now, you see, there's a lot of activity around us that we don't even know about. I love this because it's not angels stuck on the third rung and held motionless for 30 years. It says the angels are doing this, going up to get their orders from God and going out into the earth and coming back up to get an order and going out to bring the solution. Is that great? So, this vision is about living reality of the spirit realm. See, sometimes we live so natural that we don't have our eyes, the eyes of our heart, open to see with the eyes of God. And that's why we need to pray, as Pastor Andrea started the meeting, that the Spirit would enlighten our hearts, give us a spirit of revelation, unveil our hearts so we can see as God sees and hear his voice, and so that we might connect with God's plan for this generation. And so Jacob sees the angels going up and down. He sees the Lord. I mean, once you've seen an angel, great, but the Lord is much greater than an angel. Let's not get fixated with angel, because we can see the Lord. And he is greater. He's the one we worship. We don't worship angels. We worship God. And he sees the Lord, and the Lord says to him. So he hears the Lord. He sees him. So this is a vision of God that Jacob is getting. And he hears God speak to him to say, I'm actually the same Lord as your dad and your granddad talked about. Which makes me know that God was interested in the faith of people in other generations. There's a fantastic expression that says, hats off to the previous generation, coats off to those today. So in other words, honor what God did before, but get your coat off because it's our time. And so actually God's saying, hats off, Abraham and Isaac did their bit, what about you? It's our time, guys. It's for such a time as this that we are in the kingdom. And there is a purpose that we need to get hooked up with in God. Mustn't look to the past, but honor the past. And know that today is the day that we're living in. And that we need to do the will of God for today. So he hears God. He sees the Lord. And actually, God promises him the land on which you're lying is going to become the place that you're going to inherit, and so are your children. So God says, you're going to get this land. This is your land. It isn't from your dad. I am giving you this land. And we need to know, as the church in the Southwest, this is the land God is giving us. Yes, at certain times when they've run their race in the previous generations, it was theirs. Now it's ours. And we are going to dispossess the devil and bring it into the kingdom of God. Amen. We're here to take territory. Not just to have promises and live a blessed life. That's true. But we're here to see this region transformed because God loves the people of the West Country. And actually, all nations. And God says, not only am I going to give you this land, I'm also going to give you more children than you can count. Start counting. You know, more than you can count. Just imagine that. And your direction, there's going to be an increase. You see, if we don't think as God says, then we're not thinking right about where we're going. We're going to a new place where God is going to meet with people and tell them what he's going to do and give them a vision for all directions around to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, I'm going to give you many children, many descendants. Now the word of God says that without vision, the people perish. They go around in circles. They act stupid because they've got no other way to act. Unless you get a vision, an unveiling of what God has for you, you make up your own plan. But God wants to open our eyes as a church to see his plan so that we are not without purpose or living a futile life, but that we are together fulfilling the purpose of God for us as a church. And one of the primary words that God has given us, the foundation word as Kingdom Faith Southwest, is that God will raise up an exceedingly great army out of currently dead people. So people who are not yet saved, there is an army waiting to be raised. And it's an exceedingly great army. I mean, that should paint a vision in your heart, just hearing the word of God. An exceedingly great army. So Jacob, he wakes up and he goes, I didn't know God was here. This place is an awesome place. He responds when he woke up to saying that this place has changed now. It used to be ordinary, and it has become awesome. The building we're going to used to be ordinary, but it's going to become awesome. And we, as a church, are moving into an awesome place. I am more excited about what God's going to do than about the building. But because the building is going to serve God's purpose, it becomes a set apart place for God. It becomes a holy place. It becomes a place where God calls the next generation to take the nations. It's an awesome place we're going to. I have it on good authority. And so he responds, he says, this is none other than, he uses the word Bethel, and Bethel means house of God. He says, this is none other than the dwelling place of God. This place is forever changed for me. It's no longer just a building. It's an awesome place. And you know, if we look at life in an ordinary way, we're missing the awesome. And God wants to take you personally from ordinary to awesome. He wants to take us as a church. I don't want to be mediocre. I want to see the angels. I want to see the miracles. I want to see us take the land. I want to see disciples raised up and sent out, missionaries all over the world. I want to see what God is revealing. And I believe we are in a place now to begin to see awesome. We're moving into that place as a church where awesome is going to be the language we speak. It's the gate of heaven. And you know, you see this ladder that touches the earth and stretches into the heavens where God is. But the amazing thing is today, we don't need a ladder because Jesus is the way. I don't get it when people pray for an open heaven. I don't know how there could be any other way to open heaven but Jesus. Jesus has opened heaven for us. We can come boldly before the throne of grace when? We don't need, God, would you mind opening the door? I need to come in. Because the way is open. And so there is already this open heaven wherever we are. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah? It's important to understand biblically the truth because Jesus is the way. And so when we say we're living under an open heaven, it's true. Not because we have to pray for it, fast for it, because Jesus made the way. And so Jesus is here, and his spirit lives in us. And he now wants to unveil the plans that he has for you personally, for your family, for your ministry, for your purpose to reach people, to go into the world and make disciples. He wants to show you a plan from heaven. And he wants us to see that we have this opportunity to release the supernatural power of God here on earth. Because heaven is actually here. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So we're not waiting again for heaven to come down. It's in us. And this is the gate of heaven. Wherever we gather, heaven is. Wherever we go in the office, at school, that's the gate of heaven. You are the gate of heaven. But unless we see as God sees and live by revelation, we won't think of ourselves as the gate. We'll think of ourselves as, oh God, please do something. He said, I've given you the kingdom. You know, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's the gate. Release heaven. Speak my word. Release my power. And I will move in that person's life. And we can release heaven in every situation we're in, wherever we go. So Jacob, his attitude changed about himself. About God. He feared God from that moment on. Don't we need the fear of God in this generation? We need to know that Jesus is Lord and not just called to be our friend. He is our friend, but he is also Lord, the one who we obey. And God wants to bring us into encounters with him where it's all about, Lord, if you say so, that's it. It shall be. He changed about himself. He changed his destiny. And he says, I'm making this place different. And I believe as we prepare to cross over and take possession of this building, I believe we need to see that we are going to make this place different. It's going to go from ordinary to awesome. And we need to begin to call it that. Jacob called that place Bethel. And there's a spiritual significance about the way you call things. We are called to speak by faith. And faith says things are real before you see them happen. So God called Abraham a father of nations before he had Isaac. He saw the end from the beginning, and he says, I'm changing your name to Father of Nations because I call you what you are. And whatever I say comes to pass. And so Jacob called this place the house of God, the gate of heaven. What are you calling the building? What are you calling us as a church? I believe we need to call forth the greatness of God's plan for us. At the beginning of this year, we were so encouraged by a prophet who came, Pastor James Maloney. And he prophesied that we are a gatekeeper church, here to really see the things of heaven come into the earth, to be a church that lives in the Spirit. Now, you might be visiting this morning and not understand our worship, but Jesus has told us to worship in spirit and in truth, not just with songs. That we are to sing with the spirit and with the understanding, because we are called to worship God as He calls us to worship. When we lift our hands, it's because we are doing worship God's way. It's part of our honoring God. When we pray in tongues, it's because we believe the gifts of the Spirit are given to build up, edify, and to speak to God in prayer. And so a gatekeeper church, a gateway church, or a church that say, let's move on for the things of God. Let's go all out for the gifts of the Spirit whilst preaching the gospel to the people of this region. This nation and this region is desperate for us to live as God calls us. And so Jacob says, this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. See, I believe that as we prepare to go in, I have a dream. I had a dream for us to be who we are now. But my dream goes a lot further into the future. And my dream encompasses thousands of people being saved. We will spread out to the right, the left, every direction, and see people saved. I have a dream for every child in this region to be loved, cared for, and embraced in the family of God. I have a dream where drug addicts can come in and be set free. I have a dream where broken-hearted people can be mended by the anointing that is on the house. I have a dream that kids, tear away kids currently, will encounter God and come into the purpose of God for their lives. I have a vision where we will train and equip the next generation to go on and do better than we've ever. I have a dream that we will be an awesome church of love and unity, that we will not speak anything negative about one another, that we will build one another up in love. And we will stand strong around people who are in trouble and give them our aid. I have a dream that nobody will be lonely, because loneliness is a curse of this generation. I have a dream that people will be broken off the addiction of computer games and pornography. And that when people walk in this place, they will encounter God and say, the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. This is an awesome place. I have a dream that we won't be an ordinary church, that we won't stay where we are, but we will grow, mature, pay a price for the next generation. And what about worship? I have a dream that songs will be written that will go to the nations. And that we will worship God in a way that pleases Him. Because worship is for Him. I have a dream that everybody tithes and sees the promise of the windows of heaven open. I have a dream that we will train and equip you to be conquering, taking territory, in your workplace, in media, education, local council, medicine, that our doctors and nurses will get creative ideas on how to help people. That we will be known as the place to go where if you're mentally ill, you can be delivered. It's time to unveil the true church. Because God is here. And where we are going is an awesome place. You could say currently already is. That there are angels here. That God is here. That God is speaking to you through His Word today by His Spirit. But God wants us to take the blinkers off and begin to live with a vision of what is possible and say, hang on, I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to be a part of a region-changing church that will ensure the gospel is preached. Where every member does its share. And where we actually, I don't know, there's things to happen in your future that you haven't seen yet. Praise God. It isn't over yet. Don't you think that's fantastic news? And we will be inspired to run into the call of God. I'm going to finish with just saying this, right? I'm just going to read it again because I don't mind repeating myself because it's awesome. I am calling the place we're going a place of personal encounter for us and the lost. A place where people will see and hear the Lord. It will be a place of destiny. Where God's dreams and visions will be communicated. Where the Word and the Spirit will be honored. It'll be a place to spread out from in all directions. A place of healing, acceptance, miracles, angelic activity. A place of hope, comfort, a refuge where people will find family. A restoration and healing center. A place of training and equipping, raising disciples in media, business, education, families, council. A place to find friends. A house of prayer for all nations. A house of worship, praise, victory, joy. A place of unity, reconciliation. A place to send out missionaries from. A place where God will be feared, loved, honored, given devotion. And a place where dreams come true. It will be an awesome place. So what about you? What are you going to call it? You've heard what I'm going to call it. The Church of Jesus Christ moving to a new location. I ask you now just to think, pray, and say the future. Just begin to say, Holy Spirit, show me that this place is going to be awesome. It will change. This building will change because we're there, but primarily because God's there in us. And begin to prophesy. Begin to say, I'm going to call it this, this, this. If you have a pen, write it down. And begin to even use this scripture to write down what, where we're going to change it. And then we're going to get together and act on what we've just received. Okay, so just let's, in quiet, just meditate. Ask the Holy Spirit. We're coming into an awesome place. And begin to dream dreams. Have visions. Holy Spirit, release them to us as we meditate on things above. Thank you, Jesus. It shall be an awesome place. We're going from a certain place to an awesome place. An ordinary place to an extraordinary place. Now, what's important for this kind of, it's been much more of a spiritual exercise this morning, is that we see as God sees and begin to call it into being. And that as we even prepare to do work parties and different things, that we realize we're working on an awesome place. A place where people's lives will be changed. And it's just tremendous. Can we just pray whilst the band gets together? Father, I thank you that you change the place we're in. And that you make it an awesome place. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us a promise, not just for us, but for future generations. That we will spread out to the right and left and that we will multiply. And that people will see and hear about you, Jesus. We thank you this will be a place of a bright and shining light, and where we will go out into our workplaces, into all this region, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we uphold your word above all things. We say your word is the authority of our lives. We thank you that we're going into a place where your word will be honored and preached, where your revelation and vision will be received, where dreams will become a commonplace. And we pray in this season, as we prepare to cross over, that you will release dreams and visions for us personally, but also for us corporately, that we will live with God's dream and see dreams come true. I want to thank you, Father, for my birthday present and for a great church that are ready to go into the land. And I want to thank you, Lord, that as we take this step forward, we do it with our eyes on you, knowing that you have called us into a great future where many people will be transformed and changed. Thank you, Lord, many children will be raised up in the house. You will give us many children. We will see many young people, many old people come to Christ. I want to thank you that this place will be a place of multi-generations, where the true family of God is expressed in real ways. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let your dream become the only dream for us. We pray. Amen. Do you want, you're hungry for dreams and visions in God? You know, eagerly desire these things, and God will either, as you're praying, show you something, or show you, give you vision, or even, I mean, Pastor Andrew is so blessed. She's always getting dreams at night. I'm usually awake when I see in the spirit. She does both, actually. But God can do anything. God can show you things you've never seen before. But as we're going forward, it's an awesome place. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.